Good morning. It's just after 7, and you know what that means. Lederhosen, Dirndls, and the Mr. Fix-It Show.
What's the second thing?
Now there's your host, that schnitzel-loving handyman, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own WGN.
I didn't realize you wrote it. What was the second thing you said?
Lederhosen and Dirndls.
What's Dirndls?
It's the dress that those little ladies wear. With the va-va-voom.
There was a lady and there was a bunch of ladies in those last night.
Dirndls.
Right.
I just learned that yesterday, that word.
Hi, everybody. It's Lou Manfredini. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show. 7:13 in the morning this hour. The Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by wetandforget.com, by Touch and Foam Professional Spray Foam Insulation. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. It's also our text line. We'll do our Just Text Me segment after 9:30 this morning. We're going to talk about keeping rodents out of your house this morning at 8:35. And our Noodaloo 2 is an amazing way to start your fireplace or your fire pit. It would make a great wedding gift, right? Because it's not inexpensive. I actually kind of like the German music. And I'm not German. You were wearing your... Good morning, Veronica and Sam. Good morning. You were wearing your German colors last night.
Yes, I was.
You're like, I'm German. Kreitzer is my maiden name.
I like the yodeling.
Is that German?
They were doing it last night.
Oh, yeah. Right,
Julia.
Right. Yeah. We had a lot of fun at the Hofbrauhaus last night, tapping the keg. The place is an event. I will tell you this, that if you have never gone there, you at least have to do it once, if not more than once. Right?
I felt like I lived 5 different lives last night.
Okay. First of all, Jim was the general manager. It was very nice. Mm-hmm. I got to meet Mike, the owner, as I mentioned to Mike Steven this morning. Ed Jacoby was the master of ceremonies last night and the trumpet player. Mm-hmm. He was living La Vida Loca last night in the German style, right? He was doing the raising the steins, and you participated in the Stein contest.
I did. I have a sore arm today. And I'm not kidding.
That's what Mike said, too. How there were 10 of you in the...
So they had everybody line up at the front of the stage, and they gave... I heard you talking about this earlier, the beer pints, the
giant
steins, the size of your head.
Right.
Full of beer that weighed, I think they said they weighed 5.5 pounds.
Right.
And you had to
Which you would think the mother of two, you should be able to do that all day.
I know, but you know what?
You don't hold your child extended with your arm straight out.
Extend your arm straight out. You couldn't raise it above your shoulder. It had to be straight past your shoulder. Mama mia. You guys, try it at home. This could be your games tonight on Saturday night.
Right. I'm telling you, I'm going to pay attention the next time I see a German woman to see what kind of shape her arms are in. You know, because it's all about the arms, right?
It is. It's right? All about the guns.
It's all about the guns. And well, there were several ladies. There was one lady that was in the final three. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was rocking it.
We thought for sure she was going to win.
She was rocking it.
She had a look on her face of determination. And in the end, she did beat you and Mike, both. But it was a lot of fun. The Hofbrauhaus out in Rosemont. And I'll tell you, that little entertainment center they have cooked up there in Rosemont is something else. There's something for everybody right out there. And it was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
A lot of fun. Thanks so much for having us. It was really great. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. The Mr. Fix-It Show. As I mentioned, a little bit later on this morning, we are going to talk with the founder of a company. She's actually out of South Dakota. I've met her several times. And they have these natural solutions to pest control. So this is interesting. I talk a lot about controlling rodents. And this time of year in particular, as the weather cools, is when the rodents are coming into the house. And one of the things that you need to do first is to go around the home and make sure you're not creating any safe havens for them. If you have firewood that you pile up against the house, you need to move that away because they're going to hang out there. A mouse can fit through a hole the size of a dime. If a rat can come through the size of something a quarter, they can even come up through the drains, which are gross. And I know this isn't the type of thing you want to hear in the morning, but you need to eliminate that problem. Now, there are baits, there are traps. And I know when I talk about this, a lot of people say, I don't want to poison stuff. It's dangerous. Why are you advocating to do this? Now, there's tons of studies about fires that are caused by rodents, by disease that they carry. And so I really personally don't have a lot of love lost for getting rid of rodents. But if you want to do it a natural way, as a repellent that doesn't kill anything or cause any, you know, death of a rodent in your house, then you're going to want to pay attention and listen after 8:30 this morning when I talk to the founder of this company out of South Dakota, who's been very successful, and this product does really work. It's really quite amazing. So that'll be coming up after 8:30 this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We will take a quick break and get to your phone calls right after these.
You're listening to Lou on the Mr. Fix-It Show. Come on, wake up. The weekend is here. Right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. But I feel better when I'm
dancing. Yeah, 722 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Mr. Fix-It Show. We can do this together. I bet you feel better on WGN Radio. Here's Steve in Deerfield. Steve, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The question I've got is, I know I need a new roof on the house, and I'm trying to make a determination. How do you make a decision whether you go with a power attic fan versus the stationary box vents that mount on the roof?
You do them both. So there's no such thing as too much ventilation in an attic space. And I think that anybody that puts a roof on their home should have a power fan up there. Because it just makes sense. First of all, it doesn't use a ton of electricity when it's running. A fan like that, when it runs, draws about 3 amps. You won't even know the thing is on your as far as your electric bill goes. And for the summer months where we have this, you know, high heat hitting that attic is always hotter than the rest of your house. And reducing the temperature in that attic space is just a good idea from a structural standpoint, from a heating and cooling standpoint, from a preserving the materials that are up in that attic space. And so for the added cost, I think it's worth the investment every single time.
Okay. See, the problem I had a couple of roofers come out, and they're saying if you have both systems, then you're drawing the air from the vents rather than from the soffits of the home.
Well, I don't necessarily agree about that. Yes, you will draw in from the vents, but if the fan has enough CFMs and they, you know, and they baffle the lower area from the soffits, it will work. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not, you know, I guess. Do you remember building sandcastles at the beach?
Sure.
Okay, and you remember where you'd go up, down, you'd go at the top of the hill over the sand, and you'd build something, then you'd pour the bucket of water, and then as the water would come down, all these little different trails of water would head back towards the lake?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what happens when that fan turns on. It just sucks all that air from all those different points. Sure, it draws in air from the vents up high, but it's still going to draw in from the bottom. The whole idea is I want to pull that hot, potentially damp air out of that attic space. So if you get a fan that has at least, I mean, a good exhaust fan is 600 CFMs.
Okay.
That thing is, you know, I don't know how much hair you have on your head, but if you were underneath it, it would make your hair stand up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. That sounds good. All right. Like I said, I had a couple of guys out here and they had different opinions.
Right.
And, so I thought get your opinion on it, so I appreciate your
help.
Do
them both. You got it. Good luck with the project. I appreciate you calling this morning.
Thank you. Okay.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. We got another Steve here. Hey, Steve, you're on WGN.
Good morning, Mr. Fix-It. I had to get you off my speaker.
Oh, how can I help you, sir?
What prompted my call was you were talking about an upcoming segment where you're going to have a natural pest control expert on with you
to talk about controlling rodents. Correct.
Oh, it's rodents. I thought it was pest control. My mistake. My bad.
Well, that's okay.
Because I wanted to find out if the person had any ideas about natural ways to control fleas.
Fleas in general in the house.
No, fleas in general that live on cats and dogs and animals.
Oh, Well, I don't know that she is a an animal expert, so that I don't. I mean, I can certainly ask her, but she'll be coming on at 8:30 this morning, and we can find out if she has any expertise on that. I know that for fleas and flies, and I suppose you could do this on a dog. You spray them with Listerine. Right? You mix Listerine and water.
I've heard that.
Right. Well, you heard it from me. That's why you've heard it.
From you?
Yes.
Oh, probably.
And
Minty.
So I learned this. There's a guy, he's a lighting guy in New York. He's a character. And he has a Wave Runner that he uses out east. He lives, I don't know, Long Island somewhere. And Lou, he goes, I got to tell you, this sounds Chicago, but he kind of talks like that. The number one thing to keep the flies and the fleas off you is you spray yourself with Listerine. I go, what are you talking about? I take a bottle. He goes, I mix it half with water and Listerine, and I spray my boat coat and a little bit on the back of my neck, and I spray my entire Wave Runner. A fly doesn't touch him the whole day.
Huh.
And you smell minty fresh.
Yeah, right.
Right? I don't know. I mean, what am I saying? The guy's telling me it works. So try it. If you've ever heard of that before, let me know that for sure. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show. You know, something that I didn't tell you, Carmen now, my daughter Carmen, who's in New York going to school, she now listens to the show on the podcast, which is something
that
she did when she was in Europe. And she goes, and now when who is the person that puts the podcast up? It's not you, right? And she's like, oh, sometimes they're so quick to put that up. And so, anyway, thanks for listening, Carmen. I appreciate it. And thanks all of you for listening. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Hey, this is Mike Steven. And now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show. And by the way, if the show started late, it's probably my fault. Right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Thank you, Mike. Hey, on Saturday, October 15th, from 7 to 10 a.m., I'll be broadcasting live from Fox Home Center in Alsip. Come and join us. Enjoy live music as well as free breakfast and refreshments courtesy of Gravy in LaGrange. Plus, the first 300 attendees will get a goodie bag from Fox Home Center and their partners. We'll also be giving you a chance to win prizes throughout the show. Visit WGNradio.com/events page for more details. It's always a fun broadcast. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Here's Andy in Lake Zurich. Hi, Andy. You're on WGN.
Hey, Lou. How are you doing today?
Good. How can I help you?
Good. I have a squeaky floor problem on two levels of my house. I have a tri-level. The main level is hardwood that the previous owners put in. It looks very nice. It's a well-done job, but the floors do squeak. And then upstairs is just a nightmare, and it's carpeted, and I know there's wood below the carpet. I guess I don't know much else about it besides that, but I'm hoping to get an answer to at least a carpeted problem.
All right. Now, on the wood portion, do you have a crawl space underneath that?
I do, as a matter of fact. Yeah, it's full the whole length of the house. Yep.
Okay. What you may be able to do in those areas specifically is when you can locate the area where the squeak is, more than likely, you have a 3/4 inch subfloor underneath the hardwood.
That sounds right, yeah.
And if you can buy, well, there's two things that can be squeaking. The subfloor against the floor joists themselves. And so with the help of a friend and a bright light, you go in that crawl and have someone go over. This is the area where it squeaks, kind of go up and down, up and down. And when you're looking up at the joist, if you see the subfloor moving near where the joists are, what you can try to do is take some pieces of 2x2 framing material with some construction adhesive, like liquid nails, and you're going to cut a section of the 2x2, like maybe a 2-foot piece or something like that, and in that joint where the joist meets the subfloor, you're going to screw it into the joist horizontally, okay? And kind of jam it up in there so you're gluing to the joist and to the bottom of the subfloor. And then you're going to buy the appropriate length of screw, okay? So you need to go through 1.5 inches then into 3/4, right? So you want probably like a 2-inch screw. And even if you went to like a 2.5-inch screw that bit a little bit of that hardwood up above, you could draw it all together. And then once that glue dries, you may be able to solve the squeak on those areas on the hardwood.
And what kind of adhesive did you say? I'm sorry.
Liquid nails. It's a construction adhesive that you put in a caulk gun. Now, for the carpeted areas upstairs, you're going to have to pull the carpeting back. Okay? You can rent a carpet stretcher to put it all back, which is not a big deal. But, you know, around the perimeter, I don't know if you've ever done any carpeting, but there are these, what they're called tackless strips that go around the perimeter of the hallway or the rooms. If you take a pair of pliers in a corner and you gently pull up, you'll be able to pull the carpeting right up. 2 seconds.
Yep.
Now you take this pad up, which may be glued, so you got to carefully pull that up. You're going to see the subfloor, and you should see nails where it's nailed into the joist. More than likely, a house of that age, they weren't screwed in, it was nailed in. Now you take some 2-inch deck screws, and in the areas where it's squeaky, you drive additional screws to tighten up the subfloor.
Deck screws, D-E-C-K?
D-E-C-K, deck screws.
Oh, okay. So pull up the carpet and then go about it that way.
And then you put the pad back, you put the carpet back, and this carpet stretcher is a little square apparatus that has little tines on it that you put on the top of the carpeting, and it has a little pad on it that you actually kick with your knee when you're on your knees to kind of re-stretch the carpet. It's not difficult to do. I'm sure you can find a YouTube video that can show you exactly how it works, but it's super easy to do, and that's your best chance of eliminating the squeaks in the floor. Appreciate the phone call. Let's talk to Mary Ellen in Skokie. Hi, Mary Ellen. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question, and then if we get to it, a little bit of advice for the man with the flea problem.
All right.
I have an water that is coming from an unknown source. About a month ago, my living room carpet was wet, and it was very wet, and it was the bottoms of the dogs' beds were wet, and I couldn't figure out how the dogs were wetting the bottom but not the top, but then I realized it wasn't the dog. It was the carpeting that was very wet. And then there's an upstairs bedroom that also had the same problem with some of the carpeting. And I thought that maybe it was something from the chimney because the fireplace is in the living room, and I called the person who had done the chimney last summer. He came out immediately. He looked at it. He took pictures. He showed me, and he said, you need roof repair, which I know, and I'm getting estimates on that right now. And he said, I'll put a little bit of caulking around there because I can see.
Okay, hold on a second. The dog, the carpeting that was wet. Where is that in relationship to the outside walls of the home?
It's the outside walls. The living room carpeting is the northwest side. So there's an outside wall.
So this is near the wall.
Well, it was the whole living room floor. It was most of the living room floor, but there was no sign of water on the walls or ceilings.
And what's under that floor? Is it on a concrete slab?
There's a basement underneath.
There's a basement underneath it. It's a wood-framed floor. And when you go down to the basement, can I see the underside of that floor, or is it finished?
Yes, you can see the underside of the floor, and because the fireplace is there, you can also see the place where the ashes would come from. I don't use the fireplace, but where the ashes would go, and that was quite damp too. And so the man opened that, and he said, "You can see there's no water in the inside of this. There is no water in the fireplace, so there's nothing coming from the chimney." But I mean, it was so wet that, as I said, the bottom of the dog's beds were wet. And I mean, but it was a whole bed, but the top wasn't. So it definitely wasn't the dogs wetting them. And so I got a dehumidifier in there, and at first I could get like the 30 pints of water out overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we had the last rains of this last week, it wasn't so humid. I wasn't feeling any dampness with my feet, which is which is good. And as I said, I'm definitely getting a roof, the roof repaired, but I was just wondering if there's anything else I should look at, because obviously you shouldn't have water like this.
No. When you said the carpeting was damp to the point where if I stood on it with socks, my socks would get wet?
Yes. And as I said, the bottoms of the dog's beds
were wet.
Were so wet. I mean, I thought.
And you're positive it's not urine from the dogs?
Oh, absolutely. I know that smell. Mm-hmm. Well, I've worked as a volunteer.
Okay. No. I'm just curious problem, because you're telling me that it was. You said it was the entire surface of this floor.
Right. It was almost the entire living room. And as I said, with the dog's beds, it was the entire surface, but there was no of the bottom, not the top. The top was dry as a bone. Mm-hmm. And it was the entire bottom. And also this happened with the bedroom on the second floor, which is in the southwest corner.
And so this happened. Okay, now this, let me ask you this. This happened at what? What time of year is this?
About a month ago.
Okay, it happened about a month ago for the first time.
Well, as far as I know,
But you've lived in the house.
I've lived in the house, but I certainly didn't notice it till that point.
Okay.
And I might have thought, oh, the floor is just, you know, it's I don't have air conditioning, so the carpeting is a little.
All right, so that was my next question. So you don't have central air conditioning?
No.
Okay. All right, this is my guess on this, based on how you're describing it. It has to be a high humidity level issue coming from the basement that is being drawn up through the basement floor, and then it's getting to the underside of the carpeting where you're feeling that moisture. Now, this is what concerns me, Mary Ellen, with the kind of moisture that you have, is that there could be mildew and mold on the back side of that carpeting.
Right, exactly. That was part of the.
And you need to address that.
Right.
So the first thing I would do is I'd run to the hardware store and get a humidistat, a portable humidistat, and bring it down to the basement and see what what it rates at down there.
Okay.
My guess is you're going to see that it's very high. If it's over 60% humidity down there, that could be the problem where, you know, it's been very damp. Even a month ago, we had a lot of rain overnight. And I think you might have had excessive moisture in that basement and high humidity levels that was just getting drawn up and coming up and settling on the back of that carpeting. That's the only thing from a logical perspective. If there's no water, you know, main breaks, and the fact that this was happening in the center of the room, not just on the perimeter, it has to be a moisture issue from humidity in that space.
But the basement itself is just a cement basement or whatever. It's not carpeted.
Correct.
And that floor is dry.
Well, but that's okay. It can be dry, but the moisture level could be in the air.
And would the humidity have gone up then to the second floor?
Absolutely. It's dry.
But only one room.
Well, what are the other surfaces on the floors?
It's carpeting also, but I mean one bedroom where it happened, it has an old shag rug, and that was so wet. I mean, I had to lift that, and I've had stuff underneath.
Yeah.
You know, so that it could circulate. I had a fan running on it, et cetera. But this last week has been damp, but knock on wood, I have not had that problem. So I just wondered if it was connected with the roof or if there were.
It doesn't make any sense that it would be connected with the roof having water in the center of the room.
Okay.
Makes no sense.
No, I mean, that's what I thought, too, but
right.
I didn't know.
Because in other words, if it was a roof leak that somehow permeated down through the wall,
right,
on the edges of the carpet, it would be soaking wet. I mean, soaking wet to the point where, you know, it would slosh up on your feet, that then it would work its way into the center, and it doesn't sound like you have that kind of wetness.
Right, although it was really wet in the upstairs bedroom.
Right. This is a humidity issue. You need to pull that carpeting back and get underneath it, because I have a feeling that you've got some mildew and mold under there that you have to address. And you may have to pull that carpeting back, too, and let it sit back for a while to see if we can determine exactly where this moisture is coming from. The portable humidistat and the use of dehumidifiers more often probably is going to help solve this problem, but there's something else going on there that's causing that high humidity level that's settling in this carpeting. That's a tough one. That's an interesting one. Good luck with that, and thank you for the phone call. 7:50 in the morning. When we come back, it's our Noodaloo 2. If you're someone that loves to make a fire in your home, a wood-burning fireplace, or you like doing starting fires out in the fire pit as fall is approaching, you're definitely going to want to listen to this one. We'll be back right after this. 7:54 in the morning. Time now for our Noodaloo 2, sponsored by ComEd. I met these guys in New York City. In New York City! I was at a media event on behalf of Ace Hardware, and we were at this hotel talking about all the good stuff that Ace has to offer. And these two gentlemen that founded this company, and they don't even really even do this, invented this product. And I start talking to these guys. I'm like, this is really cool. What is it? And they got a little video running, and and the woman is like in this little video doing this video over and over. I go, this is really nice. I go, who's the person in the video? The guy's like, oh, that's my wife. And so it's a nice little family business. And, well, just take a listen.
Nothing says cozy like curling up in front of a crackling fire. But you can't get comfy until the fire gets going. Sometimes that's a challenge, especially when you've just sent all of your old newspapers to be recycled and there's not a scrap of dry kindling nearby. For foolproof fire starting, you want to listen to this week's Noodaloo 2. The fire lighter from Adirondack Firestone Company is easy to use. You don't need newspaper or kindling, and it works every time. Brothers Todd and Chad Kepis teamed up to create the system, which uses an oil-soaked stone to get the flames going. The fire lighter starter kit includes a ceramic vessel, two bottles of the company's candle and lamp oil, and a fire stone attached to a steel rod, which basically looks like a big marshmallow at the end of a stick. To get it started, you soak the fire stone in the oil-filled vessel for at least 30 minutes. Then you roll that fire stone lightly in fireplace ashes, ignite it with a match or a lighter, and place it in the lit stone under the firewood in the fireplace. The fire lighter stone will burn for about 15 to 20 minutes, which should be plenty of time to ignite the rest of the firewood. The brothers founded Adirondack Firestone Company to celebrate the charm and spirit of New York's mountainous Adirondack region. They've also made it a priority to work with U.S. suppliers, which makes it 100% made in the USA. And the kits are assembled in a facility that employs and trains people with developmental disabilities. It is a tad pricey, coming in at $125 a kit. However, again, it is beautifully packaged. This would be a great gift for the fire starter in your life. You can find out more information on adkfirestone.com, also on thegrommet.com. And of course, I'll put all this information up at Lou's Mr. Fix-It page on wgnradio.com, and also a little video up on his Facebook page. Be sure to like him. That's this week's Noodaloo 2.
It actually is very beautifully packaged. I mean, the notwithstanding the whole idea, but the whole kit, if you got this for somebody as a gift, they would be super impressed. I love that you called it a vessel.
It's a vessel.
Is that what it is?
The pot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So exactly what Lindsay said. First of all, you'll leave this on your fireplace. So it is beautiful enough as an accessory, not unlike if you had the fireplace tools, that you would just leave this beautifully, like you mentioned the rod with the kind of like a big marshmallow, which is the stone. And it's at the top, the handle is kind of a turned piece of wrought iron. So it's beautiful. And the vessel, you know, like the logo of the Adirondack Company is a moose, you know, so it's really kind of clever and beautiful. And it's such a neat idea. By rolling the stone, the stone soaks up in the lamp oil, and when you roll it in the ash underneath the fireplace grate. So in other words, that ash is below the grate where you're going to put the wood, and you roll it there, you light it, then you put your logs on top of that, and it burns for like 15 minutes. It's like a dragon in the box on steroids,
yes,
right?
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's a lovely accessory. So you know how I want to get the Lindeman Chimney Company to do the Lindemans that they never did, which would have been a lot cheaper than this. Now what they should do is when you do like a full fireplace remodeling job, they leave you one of these as a goodbye gift.
Very cool.
Well, it'd be an expensive goodbye gift.
Right.
It'd be an expensive
big
fireplace.
Thank you.
But they would be, actually, they could sell this, the Lindeman Chimney people,
yeah,
right?
Very
say,
cool.
Oh, by the way, would you like to buy one of these Adirondack Firestone Company starters? I love it. They were really nice guys. They're out of Syracuse, New York. Two brothers, really delightful guys, all made in the USA, which really makes me happy. And yeah, it's a little pricey, but if you know somebody that you really love and you want to buy them something nice, I would check this out. Their website is adkfirestone.com. adkfirestone.com. We'll put the information up on our Facebook page as well as the WGN Radio website. And we'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Listen to the rhythm of the falling rain, telling me just what a fool I've been.
What a rainy Saturday today.
I wish that it would go.
This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show, 8 11 in the morning, is sponsored by the Lindeman Chimney Company, Fox Home Center, and ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Looking for a brand new start.
Can I make a little, political statement, Veronica? Can you mind if I do that?
It
has nothing to do with presidential politics.
I'm sorry,
whatsoever.
What was that?
Can I make a little political statement?
You can do whatever you
want.
Well,
I'm not going to. It's not. It has nothing to do with presidential politics. But I got sent to this by, I'm just going to say, a friend of mine. Evidently, Cook County wants to raise taxes on, like a new beverage tax to raise money for, the budget gap, okay? So right now, Cook County commissioners want to have a new tax on common beverages up to a penny per ounce to fix the budget problem. So essentially, that's an extra $1.44 on every 12-pack of a beverage that you would buy, okay? So it's, you know, if you buy, I guess, fountain drinks, coffee, sports drinks, juice drinks, soft drinks. And I get that we need the money. But the problem is when you do that kind of stuff, all you do is affect the people that don't have the money.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so.
Like radio people?
Well, can I afford the extra $1.44 on a 12-pack of whatever, Pepsi? Sure. But the vast majority of people that are drinking a lot of these drinks and sodas can't. And, you know, it's sort of the, have you ever gone to a dollar store? Sure you have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The prevalence of the dollar stores around the Chicagoland area and around the country are huge, okay? Now, you know, the dollar store, this is not an indictment on the dollar store, but the dollar store is not necessarily your best value.
No, some things they're really good deals, and other things it's like, wait a minute, this was 88 cents at the other store.
Well, and this is my point about this. You can go buy a bottle of Palmolive dishwashing soap for a dollar. Now, you would think that that's a great deal, but it's a small little bottle of Palmolive, right? And so the thing is, for a lot of people that shop at the dollar stores on a regular basis, it's because that's all the money they have. Like, I have this amount of money to spend for cleaning my dishes or doing my laundry, doing whatever. And so it's a finite amount of money that they have, and they go to the dollar store because that's all they can spend.
They know they have $12 so they can get 12 things.
Correct. Now, if you went to the Jewel, you could probably buy that same bottle of Palmolive that's a little bit bigger, and the cost per ounce is less. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it may cost $2.49. But you don't have the $2.49, you only have the dollar to spend. And so it's a whole cash flow thing. And so I would really, if you're a Cook County commissioner, I hope that you would think about the people that don't have the money and how this is really going to affect them and really put a damper on their ability to, well, you know, buy food or drink drinks or whatever it may be. I know it's not an easy thing to solve, but I don't know that this is that's a lot of money.
I remember when I first moved to the city or to the area, and I was working here, went across the street to the Greens, as we used to call it,
mm-hmm.
and got a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And
which, by the way, is delicious.
I have Dr. Pepper's. I'm a pepper, Lou. Do you remember the shirts and
I'm
the knickknacks and all that
too.
Stuff from
yeah,
years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah.
But anyway, the first time I ever bought one, I was shocked at how much tax, because I wasn't used to that kind of tax that one simple bottle of Diet Dr. Pepper had on it.
Mm-hmm.
Craziness. Didn't make me stop drinking it, unfortunately.
I know. The city of Chicago did it a while back with bottled water because they were trying to, it's going to help with recycling and this and that. You know, the interesting, the dirty little secret about recycling in general, when it comes to residential recycling, it has almost a zero net effect on the environment. We would be better spent putting our money towards institutional and commercial recycling because it makes a bigger impact. But the amount of energy used and what they to do the residential recycling, I think it actually comes out as a negative. Mm-hmm. And so the city raised the tax saying, oh, we're going to do this for recycling. It's just a tax. And it's a tax on hardworking people that can't afford it. And I think that this beverage tax that Cook County is looking at is just a it's a bad move against people that can't afford it. And it worries me. It worries me a lot. There's a place you can go if you, well, just, you know what, if you know your Cook County commissioner, you know, think about this and ask the question. There's a huge, organization against all this, and I'm sure it's backed by the beverage companies that make this, but I don't have a dog in this hunt. But I just worry about, trying to fix these things on the backs of people that can't afford it. And we have to be mindful of that. We all have to pay our fair share of taxes. No question. But the people that can't afford it are not the ones that should carry the biggest burden. We have to figure out a different way possible. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is the Mr. Fix-It Crew. I actually talk about things about your house, like Marty needs some help with the kitchen. Hey, Marty, you're on WGN.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Winter's coming, and my kitchen is always freezing. I have a 1940s brick house. A new kitchen was put in. They basically have like the brick, an inch of space, and some plaster wall, and then my cabinets. So I did like one little spray foam fill in this particular dime hole spot between two cabinets that I could just feel on my feet that were just blowing in. But I'm not sure what I can do or where I should hire a pro. I would like to, like, behind the kickboards under the cabinets, like, stuff it up with something.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I'm going to be affecting the water pipes. And I had a pro already under the basement. It's unfinished under the kitchen. And he spray foamed around the
rim joists.
Yes, exactly.
But you're still
much of a difference.
Okay, and you still feel a draft when you're standing in there under the toe kick.
Well, I did feel one particular draft, but that, and I kind of stopped that. But I think the whole, like under the cabinetry or under the sink, there's a big hole where the pipes go, obviously, and you can just feel the cold breeze from there. And like the whole tile floor is just like ice. It's just really uncomfortable every winter.
Okay. All right. A couple things you can try. Now, how handy of a guy are you, Marty?
I would say moderately handy.
Okay. On the kitchen cabinets you have right now, the toe kick that you have, is there a piece of trim in front of it, or is just the toe kick of the cabinet?
I think it kind of looks pretty. I think it's glued on and kind of goes across multiple cabinets.
Okay, so it's kind of consistent looking?
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Are you in the kitchen right now?
I am.
Okay. If you got down on your hands and knees and you took your hand and you went above the toe kick, is there a gap where you can feel your fingers go back behind the cabinet?
No, the toe kick is a panel, and right behind it is just wood of the cabinetry, I assume.
All right, so there's no gap whatsoever.
Yeah, I did fill in a couple of gaps where the two cabinets meet.
Okay.
On the toe kick, and there was like a little dime hole. I filled those.
Okay. So here's what you can. Here's a couple things that you can try.
Okay.
One, that piece of trim that's on the front of those cabinets needs to come off.
Okay.
Okay, then that panel that's behind the cabinet, you can drill two holes. You know, equidistance in between each cabinet. And then you may have heard me talk about this product called Touch and Foam, which is a spray foam insulation kit that comes in two bottles and a spray hose. You can take that and fill that toe kick area in each one of those cabinets with this foam.
Okay.
Now, you're not going to go crazy with it because it's going to expand, but you're going to fill that void so that no draft comes from the wall. My guess is that on the outside wall, when they redid the kitchens, you know, the plaster wall or the drywall, if they redid anything, there's a little bit of a gap between that and the wall, and the floor, and you're getting that draft coming through there. By filling each one of those voids, you will slow down that draft that's coming through.
Okay.
Now that's one thing. Then you're going to have to put the trim back on.
Yeah.
Then in that the coldest area is like when you're by the sink?
Well, it's just the floor generally. I mean, we have a dishwasher and like when I replaced that, I could see that electrical things were coming in through this little open hole.
So through the floor.
I spray foamed that.
Right.
And when the dishwasher was being installed, I think, I don't know, even like behind the corner cabinets of the hanging cabinets, there's like, I feel air. So I stuff that full of stuff.
Anywhere that you can use this spray foam will help you. The thing that I was going to talk about that you could try also is there is an electric toe kick heater that you can install under a cabinet.
Okay.
Now, you got to do this before you do the spray foam thing. But in other words, if you can locate an area like, wow, this is the coldest part of the kitchen. This thing gets cut in and slides into the toe kick, and it has its own thermostat, and it has to either get hardwired or some plug in. And what it'll do is it'll create a separate localized heat source that will kind of blow along that tile floor. I mean, heat rises, of course, but it will help to temper that space a little bit for you. And once you set it, you can forget it. And yeah, it uses a little bit of energy, but you know, it's probably going to cost you $2 a month.
Yeah.
And it will make a world of difference. It's called an electric toe kick heater.
Wow, never heard of it. Cool.
And you try that in conjunction with the spray foam that we talked about. And I think that if you do that, you're going to be able to make that space a little bit more comfortable, especially during the winter months. Thanks so much for the phone call. It's 8:22 in the morning.
We all learn a lot about pavers and caulk and drywall and plumbing stuff to make our houses better. It's Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini, Saturdays on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Here come the Hawks.
By the way, thanks, Mike. We had a nice time out at the United Center last weekend at the 2016 Blackhawks Training Festival. A lot of Hawks fans, a lot of WGN fans. We had a nice time broadcasting from out in the parking lot. It was actually a lovely day. They had so many great activities, and the scrimmage was great. I didn't get to go. You didn't go either, did you?
No.
It was fun, though. Then I got to go down to the brand new Ace that opened in Mokena for the Kripe family. They have a beautiful store down in Mokena. If you're down on the south side over there, go out and see it. They have this lovely, oh, Lindsay would love this. They have this little annexed store within their Ace store that is like, you'll get this when I tell you, because it's brand new. It's like the Misericordia gift shop, light.
Cute.
They're building it out. But it's got that potential, and there's a father and then two sons that run the Ace stores, and it's the wives of the two sons that are running this cute store, really cute T-shirts and accessories and all kinds of fun stuff. So congratulations to them. It was really nice. We have a lot of listeners on the South Side.
Yeah.
A lot of people. Where's Lindsay? I mean, from now on, I think when we do appearances, you're just going to have to come. It's going to cost people more, but you're just going to have to come. Be very busy on Saturdays. So a lot of people are saying hi. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's take a quick call. Michael is in Lombard. Mike, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Hi. Love your show.
Thank you. How can I help you?
But over 20 years ago, we bought a real old house. We gutted it, and we placed it with about everything. And people advised us that the center beam down the middle of the house was sunken low a little bit. We bought floor jacks and jacked it up, made it level. This last year, we had storm damage. We had a new roof and siding put on. Now I'm noticing along the beam line through the living room and dining room floor, it's raising up a little bit. A friend of mine has worked with Habitat, and he suggested just taking a skill saw and going across that and just nailing it down. Should I lower the beam then or no?
I don't know that I would. I think that I'd get some professional advice before I go messing with any load-bearing part of your home.
Yes.
PermaSeal offers structural foundation consultations, and they have certified inspectors. The inspection is free. And so if you call them at 800-421-SEAL, they can come out, assess what's going on, and give you some advice I don't necessarily know that I would mess with this on your own. You need a crew of people that have some experience, because when you're talking about load-bearing issues on a home, you want to make sure that that is being addressed safely with the right experience and the right manpower to make sure that it's being done correctly. It's 8:31 in the morning. Time now for WGN Radio News, sponsored by, no offense, but it seems a little early, treetime.com. Shouldn't there be like a thing at least till October?
Yeah, I would go
it's not
with
October. It is October.
Happy fall.
Wait a minute. Today is the first, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'd say November 1st is good with me.
How about October 15th?
How about October 1st?
All right. How about October 1st?
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw.
8:39 in the morning.
Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle.
The Mr. Fix-It Show.
Some nights I wish they just fall off.
On 720 WGN.
But I still wake up.
Lord, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. As the weather starts to cool, especially this damp weather, you may notice that you have unwanted house guests. No, not your uncle or your friend who wants to crash on your couch. You know, our son, Quinn, who's graduated from college, has his own apartment now. He's over at our house all the time, spending the night. And I keep asking him, I go, didn't you move out? And he comes over.
It's more comfortable with you.
Well, it is. But his argument is that he is training for the Chicago Marathon, which is going to be a week from tomorrow. And if I can stick my chest out just a little bit, first of all, he's done a fine job of training. And our good friend Mike, who's like an ultra marathon, set him up on this kind of training program, which he's very dedicated to doing. But he decided to raise money for Misericordia, and he has a first giving page, and he wanted to attain a goal of $5,000, and he reached his goal, and now he's still taking donations, and I think it's great. So he's really focused on doing that. But what he does is he comes to our house twice a week to spend the night, because then he runs through the trail, which we live by, for his long, there's like a, remember when you did the marathon, mm-hmm. Lindsay?
Not a half.
Oh, you didn't?
I did.
Yeah. And
thank
you have
you.
To do
no,
like...
You were joking, though.
And you have to go like, one day you run five miles, and then the next day, and then 3 days later you run 15 miles. Well, he said, I'd rather run on the trail where it's safer than through the streets of Chicago, which, as a parent, I'm happy.
And he gets smoothies in the morning when he wakes
and
up.
And his mother makes him smoothies or
pancakes.
And I'll make him an egg sandwich and that kind of stuff, But if you leave the food if the food hits the ground and you don't clean it up, you'll have a problem. You know why? That's where the rodents come in. Joining me on the phone line right now is Carrie Warburg-Block. She's the founder and CEO of a company called Earthkind Incorporated. Hi, Carrie. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Good morning, Veronica.
I'm saying hello to Veronica. Oh, she just stepped away. Thanks for joining us, Carrie. Tell us a little bit about your company and what it is you guys make.
Sure. Oh, I'd be happy to. So I founded this company back in 2000, and we went full-time with it in 2007, and it happened because I had a terrible problem with rodents. I lived on a farm. Rodents kept getting into our property. I mean, it was crazy. I was like almost going insane. It was so bad. We didn't have the money to fix the continual damage that happened. Our cushions kept getting chewed. Our wiring kept getting chewed. We kept everything clean. We did everything right. And those stupid things kept coming in. And I called everywhere, everybody that I knew for help. And their only options were really poison. To put in there, which I didn't want to do around my kids and my pets, and I couldn't plug in one of those little ultrasonic things that a lot of people do in a home. So I guess you could say I took a female approach to rodents.
And okay.
Well, why not just keep them out from the start? How would I do that?
Right.
So I invented a product called Fresh Cab, As of this year, we've sold 10 million of the scented little pouches. It smells fantastic, you know, like a woman would want to make it. And it keeps the rodents out. It's federal EPA registered, which is a big deal because it's been federally reviewed and proven to meet professional standards. So you can guarantee that it works. Because one thing's for sure, whether it's a tractor or a home, you don't want those menaces in your stuff.
Now, how did you... Okay, so take me back to 2000. You're trying to figure out how to get rid of these rodents. And for those that may not be familiar with... Your company is a lot more than just this fresh cab product because you have a whole line of natural ways to solve a lot of problems in the home. But how did you come up with this knowledge that this scent, which sort of smells like a pine tree, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it smells like a balsam fir Christmas tree. It's delightful.
How did you come up or realize or recognize the fact that this concoction that you could create would keep rodents away?
So I was like a little kid with a science experiment, trying different things. But it all started with a blinding glimpse of the obvious, you know, that aha moment that any inventor has.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a grain truck. I was pull starting it. I was in the front. And out of the floorboards, a mouse ran up my leg. It kept running. I had bare legs, shorts. Really freaked me out. Well, instinctively, I grabbed in my purse. I had my purse with me. I grabbed a bottle of perfume and started spraying around. Lo and behold, two of them ran out. And, you know, there was some rust in the floorboards. So there was open floorboards. And as I stopped the brakes, you know, feces and stuff started falling over my head because they'd been living in the headliners. And it was just, you know, one of those moments that I thought, is this a dream? You know, this is like so scary. But I knew there was something to the perfume. And
right.
Just like, you know, what do? When you see a spider, you grab a can of Raid or something, right?
Right, right.
Try it. Well, I have something for that problem now, too, that's natural. But I went back to my childhood years. My father was an entomologist, so I can't say that I grew up loving pests. I was kind of terrified, and I thought it was gross, and I never in a million years thought I would do something like this. But he was a rodent scientist, and he worked for a global leader with rodents. And mm-hmm. So I saw him in cages. I saw trials. I saw their behavior. And I started putting nature together with rodent behavior, and I thought, there must be something in nature that's going to naturally repel a rodent. So I looked to the trees, and in the forest, the snow comes down. There's nothing for the rodents to eat. They start eating bark. Well, the balsam fir tree develops these little blisters on the outside. They make their own pesticide, which drips down. Right? Genius. Thousands of years. And I thought,
Wow. Yeah,
the only downfall, it's kind of expensive, but it's a lot less expensive than a $3,000 wiring harness.
Right.
Your house burning down because rodents are chewing on wires.
Well, and it legitimizes the fact that here you were, you know, growing up working on a farm where, you know, it's even more prevalent, right? The idea of field mice and whatever. So these packets that you sell, the fresh cab product in particular, comes, I know, in a small box. And what do people find inside that box?
So there's little sachets. Again, like a lady would do, right? You make it like a pretty little sachet. Basically, it's a fist-sized sachet full of the essential oils from balsam fir and corn cobs, which absorb that oil and help to slow release it. So these little pouches, you just set them down into places where you don't want rodents to nest, or you put them by food that you want to keep them away from, because those are the two things rodents are going to be looking for when they get into any place. They're thinking warm and cozy. They want to have a nest. They want to live undisturbed. Well, you put this little pouch in those areas, they're not going to stay. In fact, they move out really fast when you put them in there.
Now, I've used the product before, and I know that when you first open it up, these sachets, as you call them, are wrapped in a little plastic. When you first open it up, the smell of that balsam, I mean, first of all, it's pleasant to us, which would not, you know, I'm not running from it. And I know if you put him down in an area like in a basement or an area where you want to keep him out, I know you mentioned they're great for RVs or when you're storing a boat. You get a pretty good pungent odor if you put a couple of them down in the basement. But after a while, that calms down a little bit, but it's still effective. How long does one of those sachets typically last where it's giving off that odor to help act as a repellent for rodents?
Sure. So for 30 days, if you have an active infestation, say you've got five or more mice coming and going, like it's really critical right now this time of the year when they start to come in, the crops get off the ground, it gets cold, temperatures go down, mice will come in looking for a place. So you put them in, you got 30 days of effective if they continue to come in. And then you have 90 days if it's just as a preventive. Say you might have one or two coming into your place. And the most common entry points, really, so you don't have to overbuy these things.
Right.
You only need a few of them. Put them by those common entry points. Like most rodents come in two places that that we found and the professionals look for, by the dryer vent. Right, they can sneak in there. It's warm.
Right.
They've got water. They've got everything they need. So you can patch that up with a something metal, which you can go on and talk about how to do that.
Okay.
the other places that they come in is the garage door. Dog food is the number one attractant.
Yeah.
So you
cover
the dog
deal.
Food and plastic and put the little sachet next to it, and I'm thinking Veronica, if she's listening, she's probably putting her shoes on.
All right, do me a favor. Hang on one second. I want to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk about some of the other products you have that are effective and natural for folks to use in their homes. Carrie Warburg-Block, founder and CEO of EarthKind Incorporated, is talking to us about controlling rodents in your home and other items. When we come back, don't go away.
And now back to the Mr. Fix-It Show with your host, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back. 8:54 in the morning.
You may get disgusted.
Talking with Carrie Warburg-Block, founder and CEO of EarthKind Incorporated. Carrie, we were talking before the break about rodents and a way to naturally keep them away with your product called FreshCab, but you have another line of products to help solve some problems for other pests inside the home, correct?
We do. Now that it's October, the month of Halloween, you could call the creepy crawly.
Right, exactly, right.
but right now it's all about spiders, and we've got a big spider challenge going on. But spiders really freak people out, and they don't, 99% of them aren't poisonous, but you still don't want them in your home. Even though they do fantastic bug control the mosquitoes outside, when they move in, especially if you have a guest, it's a little freaky, hard to go to sleep. So we have a little sachet called Stay Away Spiders, and you put that into the rooms where you have spiders, and they leave on their own.
And it also gives off some type of odor or scent?
It does. It's a beautiful-smelling little pouch.
One pouch.
One pouch smells very much like an air freshener.
Oh, Lindsay's all excited now.
I am. We have some spiders in our ton of spiders in our house.
Really?
And they creep me out.
Oh,
we had one in our
bed. Hey, you got the right person.
Wait, so you take one pouch and you put it just like in the corner or?
Yeah, so normally what you do is you look where's the ideal living environment for spiders. I'll give you a little education on them. They like to live in quiet, undisturbed areas, maybe with a little bit of a breeze. They build their webs, right, to catch their food. And there's a couple things you can do. You can use our sachet because what it does is it repels the bugs that they eat. So no food, no spiders. Pretty simple. And then it smells like citronella, lemongrass, and rosemary. It's very beautiful. So normally the spiders are going to go to a real quiet area like a basement room or a guest room, maybe a quiet dormer where there's not a lot of activity.
Mm-hmm.
So aside from our product, you can also turn on a radio. That's another simple thing to do. Spiders don't like vibration. And that works too. So
yeah. So how about you turn? How about you? I mean, you work at the radio station. How about you have WGN on when you're home?
I do.
You
they want to listen.
Right. Well,
yeah,
that's great. That's
times. I mean, you know, people leave home for several days or a week. You can leave something running like that. It drives them insane because they build their webs. The only way they know if something's land there is through the vibration of that web, which they spend a lot of time building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very interesting stuff. Carrie, where do people find out more information about your product?
You can go to our website, earthkind.com. I think people can find me through your Facebook page, Lou. I comment on that every now and then. You can find our products at any Ace Hardware. It's in all of them across the country. If it's not on the shelf, just ask for it. They'll bring it in from their warehouse in no time at all. So we've got you covered with spiders, ants, rodents, moths. We're almost done with our cockroach repellent, too. That's in EPA right now.
Nice.
We have something for mosquitoes coming out as well.
Carrie Warburg-Block, founder and CEO of Earthkind Incorporated, thank you so much for getting up with us this morning and giving us information on your products and helping people stay rodent and pest-free in the homes.
Thank you. Makes me happy.
All right. Have a great day. I really appreciate it. It's 8:59 in the morning. We'll be right back.
And we'll never be royals. It's all run in our blood. That kind of luck just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz.
What's this guy's
Let
name?
Be your ruler.
Puddles the pit. He looks like he's 6'6". Right?
7'2".
He's 7'2"?
Yeah.
He's 7'2", dressed like a clown, and all he does is sing. It's like an internet sensation.
And he has an amazing voice. He does all these covers.
We count our dollars on the train.
He's 7'2"?
Yeah.
Wow. You can't make this stuff up, folks. Can you post a link to that video on the... You think I'll creep people out?
No.
He's kind of creepy.
Really, all clowns have a creep effect.
He's a giant man with a white face with minimal makeup and a crown on his head, like a tiny crown.
Yeah.
Right?
A tiny crown with a P. PuddlesPityParty.com.
Okay. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Touch and Foam Professional Spray Foam Insulation and by PermaSeal Basement Systems. This is Carolyn in Geneva. Carolyn?
Hey, Lou. Good morning.
Thank you for hanging on. Can I help you?
Yeah, I hope so. I'm looking for you to give me some guidance. I have a condo down in Florida. It has a brand new air conditioning unit put in the beginning of April. After the storms, I had friends go in, and they checked it, and they said, well, the air's running hard, and it's not cooling. And I had it set when I left at 79. So the second person went yesterday, and then I had the installers of the unit go in, and he thinks he checked up on the roof, and he said he thinks it's the disconnect, and he thinks that it is possible it may have blown out the compressor, so they're going to check it. So my question to you is, we're going to go back on Monday or Tuesday. What should I be asking them or looking for?
Well, all right, the disconnect, for people, just to let you know what that is, that's the electrical connection between the condensing unit, which it sounds like it's on the roof of this building,
mm-hmm.
and the power supply. And so the whole idea behind this is that if a service professional is coming by to look at this, it's like it's essentially a switch, but it's to cut the power off to the condensing unit. Typically, they pull it. It's like a socket, and it kills the power. The disconnect itself, I don't know how that could blow a compressor. There could be a surge, but even that... That's not the breaker. The breaker is in your panel that's down below somewhere. And so that theory doesn't make a lot of sense to me as to why that could be working. Now, if the compressor stopped working, then the AC would be working, but it's not doing any dehumidification. The blower fan and everything's working just fine. So, you know, I guess I would ask the question to them and say, how can this disconnect cause this to work if I have a breaker that's protecting this? It doesn't make sense to me. You know, it's essentially the way to think about a disconnect is if I had an extension cord coming from your condensing unit, and mm-hmm. then I had another extension cord that came from your electrical panel, and I took the two ends, right? I took the male end of the one cord and the female end of the other, and I put that together. Mm-hmm. That's the disconnect. So in other words, it's not a it doesn't create power on its own. It's just a connection point. And so if I pull those two extension cords apart, there's no power. That's thus why it's called a disconnect. So the surge, if there was a surge, would have been in the panel. But if the panel is working and the breakers are fine, then the breaker should have blown. My guess is, you said someone went there to look at it already, a technician?
No, actually a friend, two different friends.
And okay.
The first one said, well, it's really warm in here. And then so I sent another person, and they said the same thing. It sounds like it's running hard, and it's set. The temperature was 85, where I had it set at 79. When I called the company to install it, he goes, oh, it's probably because the air filters weren't changed. But then when they went right over, they said, no, that's not it. They went up on the roof, and that's when they started saying it's the disconnect.
Okay. So you had professionals go in there that obviously checked the breakers and everything like that.
I don't know if he looked at the breaker.
Yeah, I would. I mean, if he's a professional HVAC contractor, that would be,
then
they would check that for sure, because it could be that the breaker's blown. But if it was, you know, a friend that maybe didn't know to go check that.
Correct.
But your pro probably should have checked that. So, what I'm trying to avoid is them coming back and saying to you that, this mistake is on you, you know, that it's not our fault, and now you got to pay for a new compressor. So this doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I need more information, which obviously you can't do because you're here and that's there.
Right, but I'm going down. All right, so thank you for the guidance on that. I'll follow up with them on that question if they did check the breaker.
Right.
And then I'll get some more notes.
And how the disconnect, and the disc, it doesn't make sense that the disconnect could blow the compressor because it's protected by a breaker. And that's the key. Now, hang on a second, because I'm going to help you out. This is going to help you. We're going to send you an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. Brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. Now she can monitor her place in Florida from here. You still got to bring that down and get it installed. So hang on a second, Carolyn. We'll get that information for you. This is Roberta in Northbrook. Hi, Roberta. You're on WGN.
Hi. How are you? Yes, thank you. I have a dishwasher that doesn't drain completely. It doesn't drain. And I've taken off the bottom of it and cleared it out, you know, unscrewed it, and there was nothing in there. And I just wondered what you suggest. Is it worth repairing, or what do I do?
You run a cycle, and it drains partially, but at the end, when you take the dishes out and they're done, there's a little bit of water at the bottom?
Right.
How old is the dishwasher?
It's 16 years old.
Okay. Before you buy a new one, this mm-hmm. is what I want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to run the hot water in the dishwasher, in the sink, till it gets super hot.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to put the dishwasher on pots and pans.
Okay.
And I want you to run it. You know how there's two points where it drains the first one and does like a pre-wash, and then it does the full wash?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's a cancel drain, not that one. There's a rinse only.
No.
There's a pot. Yeah.
Okay, put it on pots and pans, hot water. Mm-hmm. Then you're gonna turn it on. Mm-hmm. After you hear it go through that cycle where it drains the first round, okay?
Okay.
Then it fills back up again, making sure the water's still hot. You're gonna open up the dishwasher. You're gonna take 2 cups of CLR. Okay?
CLR.
CLR, calcium lime and rust remover.
Okay.
And you're going to pour it in there, and you're going to close it and let it finish its cycle.
Okay, close and finish cycle.
It could be some calcium buildup in a solenoid that is part of the drain that we're going to try and see if this will loosen up. If that doesn't work, you need a new drain solenoid. And for a 16-year-old dishwasher, I don't think I would spend $150 on a service call.
Right. Okay. That's what I was thinking.
But if you get away with this, a quart of CLR is going to cost you, you know, $5.
Okay.
All right. Do me a favor. Hang on one second, because you were hanging on for such a long time. Let's send Roberta this is perfect, because if she needs a new dishwasher, she's going to get an ABT gift card. Pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. Frank, you're on WGN. Good morning.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show.
I'm a part-time bartender, and we have a problem with fruit flies. I pour a drink, and all of a sudden there's a fruit fly in his drink. He won't drink it. So I said, well, they're not that bad, so if I like to drink, I'll drink it myself, but I can only drink.
Hey, look, mister, we save hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast, and we don't need any characters around to give the joint atmosphere. Is that clear?
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
If I like the drink, I'm going to drink it. Just like last night, those steins of beer, they were delicious. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, the Mr. Fix-It Show. This is Michelle in Forest Park. Hi, Michelle. You're on WGN.
Good morning.
Thanks for hanging on. How can I help you?
I put a second story on my house 8 years ago.
Okay.
So it has an 8-year-old roof. In the bathroom, and it's a large bathroom with two doors.
Show off.
Well, I just wanted to talk about the ventilation.
Okay. There's got
a lot of ventilation in there. It's a larger bathroom, so there's no condensation on the mirror or anything when the shower is taken. It's got a walk-in shower with a glass door. And in the shower area, and only in the shower area, there appears to be mold beginning to develop on the ceiling, but nowhere else in the bathroom. It's mainly on the perimeter where the ceiling meets the wall, but there is some in the middle as well. Before I get a roofer out, I was wondering if there might be another cause for that.
Okay, you have ventilation in your very large bathroom.
Well, there's good ventilation without putting the fan on, but I do have a fan.
Okay, but are you using the fan?
Not really, because I didn't feel that I needed it.
All right, well, you do.
Okay.
This shower that you have is what? Is it stone or is it tile?
Marble.
Marble, okay. And the marble goes up the wall and does the ceiling?
In the shower only.
Right. And so you're in the shower, nice hot shower, marble is a porous surface. That moisture bangs up against the top of that marble, and without using an exhaust fan, that mold issue is not your roof problem. It's you in the shower. So two things you're going to do. I'm going to change your life right now. You're going to go to the hardware store, and you're going to buy a bottle of Wet and Forget Shower. Okay? And tomorrow, when you take, and you're going to bring that into your large shower, and the bottle's right there, and when you get done in the shower, while you're still in your birthday suit, leave the shower running a little bit, because you will get a little bit on you, but it's fine. Spray the Wet and Forget Shower up on the ceiling. Okay? You don't even have to do anything. Spray it. And then tomorrow or the next day when you go in there, you're going to start to see it get better. And spray it again. After a couple days, it's going to be gone. And if you can, maybe bring a little cup with you, because you want to rinse it after a couple of days. So up on that ceiling, you know, you're going to take a splash of water and you're just going to kind of splash it to rinse it. Then once a week, you're going to spray that thing down with this Wet and Forget Shower, and you're going to start using the fan religiously.
All right.
Do you go to church?
Do I go to church occasionally?
Okay. You should use the fan more often than you go to church.
Okay.
All right. That's what I want you to do. And I also want you to hang on. For hanging on so long, we're going to send you a Mr. Fix-It Lou's Crew t-shirt, courtesy of our friends at Fox Home Center in Alsip, created by Rags of Honor, helping veterans get back on their feet.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
We don't have to talk. Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
Our Just Text Me segment is sponsored by IWantSmart.com. And don't forget, on Saturday, October 15th, from 7 to 10 a.m., I'll be broadcasting live from Fox Home Center in Alsep. Come and join us. Enjoy live music as well as free breakfast and refreshments courtesy of Gravy in LaGrange. Plus, the first 300 attendees will get a goodie bag from Fox Home Center and their partners. We'll also be giving you a chance to win prizes throughout the show. Visit WGNradio.com/events page for more details. Lindsay Smithwick in the WGN control room. Is that what we call it? What do we call that?
Producer booth?
Producer booth? Mm-hmm. Not really a booth. Did you call it a booth? It's a room.
Producer's booth.
Booth makes it sound like it's like a photo booth. It's bigger than that.
Hmm.
Okay. Whatever you want to call it.
Whatever.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. Texting. Oh, where did all my texts go?
That's a problem.
Yeah. It's not good. So basically, this guy put down driveway sealer on Wednesday, and then it poured, and now he has black sealer on his brick walls, basement windows, and sills.
Excellent.
So how do I get it off?
Yeah. You can try using a cleaner called Crud Cutter or Challenger and a brass scrubbing brush. And you're going to apply the cleaner, let it sit there for 5 or 10 minutes, and then take the brass scrubbing brush, scrub away, and then rinse and repeat. And then as far as your driveway, I'm sure it's completely washed away. Clean that again, and then pick a day when it's not going to pour rain and reapply the whole thing to recoat the driveway.
Okay. 630, I have a second floor bathroom shower that leaks through the ceiling in my kitchen when we take long showers. I've tried several drain cleaning solutions, and it still happens.
Well, the drain cleaning solution, I don't think, is the issue. We need to find out where the leak is coming from. So if it's a shower, two things to try. If you take the grate off of the drain itself, and you just expose the pipe, you'll see that the pipe comes up and there's a lead joint that goes around the pipe. At the hardware store, you can buy something called a test plug. More than likely, that's a 2-inch drain pipe. Mm-hmm. You're going to buy a 2-inch drain test plug, and you're going to put that in there. It's a rubber plug with a wing nut on the top, and you're going to pop that in there, tighten it so it seals the drain. Then you're going to fill the shower up with about 1 inch of water. The whole idea is I want it to leak, but not so much high if it's a shower pan that it goes above where the pan meets the tile. And you're going to go up to that point, and you're going to let it sit there for an hour and see if it leaks. If it does, then the leak is coming from that connection point where the pipe is connected to the shower pan. If it doesn't leak, then chances are it has to do with the grout and or the caulking between the tile and the pan itself. And you can actually raise the water level to try and make it leak at that point as well. But I bet if you remove all the caulking around the pan area, let that dry overnight with a fan, then re-caulk with pure silicone, and then check the vertical joints in the corners where the tile meet. If you see separation there, that whole theory of the long showers is because it's penetrating behind the tile and going.
Mm-hmm. I actually followed the answer to that question.
Very nice. Good.
847 hot water heater is heating, but not as hot as the setting is at. Drain or replace?
Drain first and see if that matters. There could be some sediment at the bottom of it that's causing it to not get as hot as possible. You know, it's interesting that you're saying not as hot as it's set to be. 120 degrees, which is the typical setting of a water heater, you'll see that it either has that number on there or an arrow that's the preferred spot. You cannot go in a shower in 120-degree water. It'll burn you. But if it's an older heater and you got to crank it up, it's usually due to buildup of sediment and scale inside there. It's an energy waster because you're using more energy to get that water to keep it hotter. If the water heater is older than 10 years old, then after the draining, if that doesn't work, you're probably better money spent in replacing the whole thing. If you're going to go to a on-demand water heater, which I'm a huge fan of, then you know, think about that as well.
And lastly, 708, how do you make a 30-year-old heavy wood frame patio door slide easily? WD-40 did not work.
30-year-old wood patio door. More than likely, that 30-year-old wood patio door has glides. It has rollers on the bottom, and it should on the inside of the door. You should see two little caps or holes on the horizontal bottom rail of the door. So where that door slides, that bottom rail that runs horizontally, there should be two holes. If you shine a light in there, chances are there's a plus sign where you can stick a standard size screwdriver in there. And if you more than likely turn to the right with the screwdriver, you're going to reset the roller and actually lift the door up onto the rollers. My guess is those have collapsed over time. And if you do two clicks on each one, the door will be lifted up and actually run on the track, and it should move more easily.
Look at that.
Well,
that's this week's Just Text Me.
Sponsored by iwantsmart.com. 9:45 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these. Why doesn't that one? That's what I wanted to do. Until we meet. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks, Veronica, for doing the news. Sam on the sports. Coming up to do a little sports preview before the Northwestern football game coming up. Our last call is sponsored by Townstone Financial. Mike's in Chicago. Mike, you're on WGN. Good morning.
How you doing, Lou?
Good. How are you?
I am great. I am building a propane fire pit table.
Okay.
And I wanted to know, the propane tank will be housed within the table. And the do I need to put like a barrier or like a heat shield in between the burner and where the propane tank is going to be?
Well, how close is it going to? So let me ask you this on your design. Are you... is the base of it going to be essentially the size of the propane tank?
Yeah, it'll be a little bit wider, but about the width of it.
Okay, and the height?
The height, it probably has about, from the bottom of the burner to the propane tank, will probably be about 6 to 8 inches.
Yeah. You know, if you're building this on your own, and that tank's going to be right there, I'm less concerned about the tank as I am about the rubber hose that you're going to connect it to.
Right.
And I would like to have some type of, if you could take a piece of metal, you know, it could be a piece of sheet metal, or it can be, you know, it's something. Well, I don't want anything galvanized, because if it gets too hot, galvanized can off gas, and that's a dangerous gas. So
okay.
You just need a piece of metal, just something to dissipate the heat. I mean, obviously heat rises, but you will get some bounce back and some radiant heat that comes back through there. And so, yes, if it were me, I'd put some sort of heat deflector on there.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Hey, do me a favor. Hang on, since you're our last caller, I want to get you something. Why don't we send Mike from Chicago you know what we can send him out there? You're always out at this place, Lindsay. Let's send him out an extra large premium chef's cutting board from the finest American maple wood and crafted in the USA exclusively for the Edge kitchen and bath showroom experience. The Edge at Builder Supply Outlet, just 5 miles east of the Oakbrook Shopping Mall on Cermak Road at 25th Avenue in Broadview. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Oh, I'm saying goodbye. That's right. We're saying goodbye almost. Hey, a couple things I want to remind you of. Joe Madden is raffling off his Jeep. And it's this sweet Jeep that was customized by the Fields Auto Group. And this Jeep is going to benefit the Cubs charities, Joe Madden's Respect 90 charity, and Misericordia. Raffle tickets are $100. Only 3,000 will be sold. You can buy raffle tickets at Wrigley Field, which right now you can't get there until the playoffs because we're gone. Until the playoffs, we're out of town in Cincinnati. You can go to Binney's locations in Chicago are selling the tickets. You can go to Ms. Ricordi and buy the tickets, and you can go to Edgebrook Ace Hardware at 5423 West Devon Avenue, and we can take credit cards or cash or check. And with only 3,000 tickets being sold, you have a really good chance of winning this bad boy. Each charity is going to get $100,000 each if they sell all of the tickets. And Joe Madden will draw the winning ticket after the season, which, of course, is hopefully after the Cubs win the World Series. How about that? Thanks so much for listening. That tone meant it's 10 o'clock in the morning. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN and WGNRadio.com.